Whew. Just in the nick of time, I tell ya. Okay, in all honesty, I think our communication media people had way too much fun with the promo. Breath. If you don't follow Springvale on Instagram, you probably should, because that's where they release all those videos if you've missed a week with all this interesting stuff going on. But before we get into this series, before we talk about who Paul is coming into contact, let me pray. Father, I'm so thankful that you want to be in relationship with us. It's a privilege that us humans can speak with you and you can speak with us. And it blows my mind that the creator of the universe loves us so much that all he wants is our hearts. So God, as we look into your word this morning, I pray that you're here amongst us. I pray that you're working in our hearts. And as we search our hearts and in response, I pray that we can be honest with ourselves and be honest with you. We're so thankful that we could be here this morning. We pray these things in your name. Amen. So I grew up here in Stouffville, and I went to Stouffville District Secondary School. And in grade 12, I was on the volleyball team. And so what happened in grade 12 was, it's kind of this big influx of people moved to Stouffville. And so there's this new kid that came, he was a year older than I was. So he was victory lapping, and he came and he joined the volleyball team. He also played basketball, and we kind of developed this relationship. We got to know each other pretty well. We'd eat lunch together. We started the odd food fight, I'm not gonna lie. But we traveled together to volleyball games, to volleyball tournaments. And things were good. We never really got to that deeper level, that spiritual level. We never talked about God or what we believed in. We were just good friends. But what happens after grade 12 is, as I moved away, I went to Virginia for a year, and we lost contact. I believe he worked for a car dealership. So I came back from school after the year, and that's when I started interning here at Springvale. And so I just felt for some reason, I should really reach out to him. And so I texted him, we caught up a little bit, and it was all good. And then part of my internship here at Springvale was for me in this gym here to run a basketball night. And so we get anywhere from 30 to 50 guys playing basketball every Monday night. If you're interested, it's for high school and young adults. And so every Monday night I had this feeling, I'm like, oh, this friend, my friend is such a good basketball player. And he really was. I should text him and bring him out. But you know what? We never talked about God. I don't know if he even knows I'm a Christian or I work at a church. And so I didn't. And then the next Monday would roll around, and there's something inside of me that was just like, text him. And I caught on that God wanted me to reach out to him, but I'd come up with excuse after excuse after excuse because he's probably playing basketball at a community center. Why does he need to come here? Now, this is not a story where I finally got enough courage. I texted him. He came out, met some really cool guys, and came to Christ. This is a story where he hit a pole and passed away. He got in a drunk driving accident, and it struck me. God wanted to use me in his life, but I don't know, I was too scared. I came up with all these bogus excuses. And I could only pray that God used somebody else in his life. I don't know if I'll ever know. Anyways, my name is Greg, and Zach and I are super excited to be in this series. We're going to be looking at the Apostle Paul and who he came into contact each day. For some reason, God wants to use us. He wants to use us a lot more than we realize, but we think to ourselves, you know what? God only uses those people who haven't really messed up. But God thinks a lot different than that. So different that he wants to use you. Even if you think, he can't or he shouldn't, he's looking to use you. And so we're going to look at somebody in Scripture that God called upon And God used, even though what God was asking him to do was absolutely terrifying. We're going to be looking at a man named Ananias, and just to be clear, this isn't the same Ananias as Ananias and Sapphira. This is Ananias from Damascus. So if you can open your Bibles with me, we're going to be in Acts chapter 9 this morning. So I believe it should be on the screen. Yeah, perfect. There we go. So we'll start in verse 1. It says, "Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked for him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem." Okay, so we see there's Saul, who is the Apostle Paul, but before he was the apostle, and he's searching for those who belong to the way. Now, if you remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except through me." And so Saul's making it his personal agenda to search for those and persecute them. Saul's a Jewish Pharisee. And so Jesus and what Jesus is saying, and anybody who follows Jesus, completely goes against what Saul believes. It's interesting because a religious leader persecuting people who don't believe what they believe kind of reminds me of groups today. What we have ISIS, and ISIS persecutes those who don't believe what they believe. Let's keep going in here. Verse 3, it says, "As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord?' Saul asked. 'I am Jesus whom you are persecuting,' he replied. 'Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.' The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could not see anything. So they led him by hand into Damascus, and for 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink. In Damascus there was a man named Ananias. The Lord called him in a vision, 'Ananias.' 'Yes, Lord,' he answered. The Lord told him, 'Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarshish named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight.'" Now put yourself in Ananias' shoes for a quick second. God, you're telling me to go to this man who I've heard about, who's literally throwing people in prison for believing in you. This man has persecuted you, God, and you're telling me to go to him because he's praying? To put my hands on him? No, like, this has to be my imagination acting up. I've been working all day. It's been hot out. I've been walking all over the place. God, there's no way you want me to go to this murderous man who's killing people like me because of you. Are you sure, God? What's interesting is God still asks us today to do things like that. Now, it might not be, hey, go to the leader of ISIS, put your hands on him because he's praying and waiting for you. It very well could be, but realistically, it's more like, hey, God speaks to you, you feel something in your heart to go across the street to that neighbor you've been connecting with. Maybe it's time you share what you believe in with them. Or, you know, you play soccer or hockey or baseball every Thursday night, and you've gotten to know this group of girls or guys really well, and you're there one night at your playing, and you just feel something inside of you go, it's time for you to ask them what they believe and share what you believe. You know, we are all supposed to be God's hands and feet on this earth. God wants to use each and every one of us. Sometimes it's simple. You know, we got to go. I haven't got my hair cut in a while, clearly. But we go to the hair salon or we go to the barber and we're sitting there and somebody's doing your hair and you just spark up. It's usually nothing, conversation. How about those Raptors or whatever it might be? And all of a sudden you feel inside, oh, I should probably asked if they need something to be prayed for, or I should share what I believe with them, or I should ask them what they believe in, and something inside of you starts stirring up, and so you're kind of like, okay, I got this. I'm gonna ask this hairdresser, and then all of a sudden you look to your right, and there's a little kid there getting a mohawk, and you look over here, there's an older man, and there's another man here getting his head shaved, and you think, you know what? These people came to just get their hair done. They don't want to hear about God or religion, and I know I'm just talking to my hairdresser, but they'll hear what I'm saying, and okay, God, I'll come back in a month or so, and if nobody else is in the hairdressing salon or whatever, then it'll be my time to witness to my hairdresser. Or, you know, you're going downtown to a Blue Jays game, and you're with a bunch of friends, and you're going to the Rogers Center, and you know there's all these street meat trucks, and then you go up this kind of bridge to get into the Rogers Center, and so you grab a sausage, and you're with your friends, you're walking, and you lock eyes with the homeless person. And they have a Tim Hortons cup, and they're shaking it, and there's probably a few dimes and nickels in there. And they have this sign that says, please, need money for food, God bless. And then they have this dog beside them, and you can just tell this person's really struggling. And you know in your core, for some reason, God wants you to go and pray for them. And so again, you muster up enough courage, and as you get closer and closer, you look at your friends and you think, whew, what are they gonna think? We've come here to escape for the next few hours. We've come here just to have a good time at the ball game, but if I do this, it's gonna make them uncomfortable. So maybe next time when I'm downtown, I'll pray for somebody homeless. I'm sure somebody else will come here and pray for this man. And sometimes, you know, we have these friends that literally have everything the world offers, except the one thing they actually need, and that's Jesus. And you know you need to share Christ with them, and it's literally on the tip of your tongue every time you hang out. And you try, you really try, and you think of like sneaky ways you can spark conversation, but every time you do, you get shut down and they change the subject. And you try and you try, and eventually you're gonna give up. I know I'm guilty of all these things. I just told you a story about my friend where I had countless opportunities to share Christ with him and I never did. God prompts me in all these areas because he wants to use us. But how do we know how to discern God's voice if we aren't actively seeking him each day? You know, like, how are we supposed to distinguish between God's voice and our own thoughts, our imagination, or thoughts from the enemy? How are we supposed to know how to respond to God? You know, in Scripture, a lot of crazy things happen. Like, there's a burning bush for Moses, right? I've never seen a burning bush. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's, how are we supposed to know? How are we supposed to understand God's voice in our lives? You know, the more we get these promptings, the more we obey what God's telling us to do, the clearer his voice gets in our lives. You know, if you're unsure, all you gotta do is ask somebody. And a lot of the times it's really logical. You know, you go into the hairdresser and you feel you should pray for somebody. You're downtown, you feel you should spark up conversation. Why would that not be from God? I think part of the problem is it's our fear. Our fear gets in the way of us acting on those promptings. You know, and what's interesting is the more we disobey, the more we ignore and come up with these excuses, we can actually quench the Spirit. But in those situations, we gotta ask God for opportunities again, because he will give them to us. But when he does, we need to be ready. It's kinda like this. There's this girl that I like. I'm gonna call her Amy because that's my wife and I like my wife. And so Amy's over here and I meet her for the first time and it's like, oh, I would love to get to know her. So, hey, let's go grab a cup of coffee. You know, I know a cool place we can go to. And she looks at me and says, oh, I'd love to, but I got to go home and feed my hamster. It's like, true, okay, like maybe another time. And so I let that go. And maybe I scared her with my stunning good looks. But, and so I go back to her another time and I'm like, hey, you know, I know you were busy last time. Let me take you out for dinner. Let's go to the Keg. Let's do something nice. And she goes, oh, I'd love to. Oh, but, you know, my friend's coming over tonight, and I keep ditching her, and I really need to be there. Okay, so sure, that's fine. Obviously, I know she's trying to avoid me. And so I give it some space, and later on, we're with friends, and we come into contact with each other, and she pulls me aside and says, you know what? I think it's time we go get that cup of coffee. If you haven't heard from God in a while, maybe it's time for you to show some interest. I hang out with this group of people from time to time, and they're unbelievers that don't believe in Christ, and it's amazing the conversations we have when I spend just 3-4 minutes in the driveway, in the parking lot, or wherever we're going, before we hang out with them, when I ask God to give me opportunities. It's not hard. It's sitting there and just taking time, being a little bit early and going to God and saying, give me an opportunity for you to work here. Give me an opportunity and let me have the strength and the boldness to spark up conversation. And it's amazing when that happens, because you ask things like that and he will deliver. You know, when we ask, though, we have that choice. Are we actually going to obey? And Ananias had that choice in Scripture. You know, is he actually, he's heard God's voice. Is he really going to go to this murderous man, Saul? Well, let's continue reading. So if you go to verse 13, it says, Lord, Ananias answered, I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. So this little thing isn't just about Saul. Saul has authority from the chief priests. This is a big issue. This is a big thing. Continuing, it says, but the Lord said to Ananias, go, for this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Ananias had every right to be terrified. He's going to someone that's like the leader of ISIS. Like, he's going to somebody that's trying to hurt people like him, persecute them, throwing him in jail. But God said right here that this man is my chosen instrument. Often people who the hardest to talk to about God, the people that really oppose it, a lot of the time, God's really stirring up something inside of them, and they don't even know it. And they're the ones with the real questions and the real struggles, and they're going to tell you what they think because they're searching. You know, I knew this kid, and he was, from the outside, tough as nails. And it was one of those kids where the people in his life honestly just stopped sharing Christ with him because it was always a battle, always a struggle. And he was so smart that he could come back, right? We all know people like that. And so this kid, we'll call him my friend, and he met this other guy. And this guy started witnessing to him and not backing down and really showing him Christ's love. I found out later that this guy felt God speak to him, saying he felt strongly that it was God wanted to use him in my friend's life. And so he didn't back up. He didn't back away. And the kid I know, my friend, eventually broke down and said to me he never experienced Christ's love before like he did through that guy. All he had was questions, and he just wanted to find an answer. And it just took a little bit of wrestling, a little bit of struggle, and he came to Christ. You know, God didn't have to use that guy to witness to my friend. God could have done it. God doesn't need us, right? God could have restored Saul's eyesight. He blinded him in the first place. But it's amazing. God wants to use us. God wants to use his creation. You know, he chose Ananias in this process, and he knew it was going to cause Ananias fear, and it was going to cause him to really think about things and look at his life from a different perspective. And that's all warranted, but it's amazing how much faith Ananias really had that he stepped into that fear and obeyed. Right? We often let that fear get in the way. Fear of being rejected or singled out. But if we think about it, for Ananias, it was probably a fear of getting thrown into prison or worse. But he had enough faith. You know, faith is not believing that our fears are wrong. Faith is engaging in our fears and trusting that God will work through them. But you know, Ananias was going to Saul, who was going to be the Apostle Paul right after this. And the Apostle Paul is this amazing guy who had 3 missionary journeys, who started 14 churches, who wrote 13 books of the New Testament. He's the New Testament guy. So that couldn't be that scary. God even said he was his chosen instrument. But think about it. If you felt some way in your heart to go to somebody of like Saul, that's tough. That's scary. I'd definitely wrestle through that one. We'll continue in verse 17 here. It said, "Then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here has sent me so you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit.'" Recognize here that Ananias called him brother. Brother Saul, before he was filled with the Holy Spirit, before he regained his strength, before Ananias laid hands on him. Ananias had such great faith in God that he trusted him when he walked into this situation, which it could have gone sideways. Who knows? Ananias had such great faith that he obeyed, and he went in there and he put his hand on him. He said, brother. He knew God was working in this man's life. Like I said, you might not get a vision like Ananias, but you're going to be prompted, and it's going to scare us. It's going to be fearful. It's going to make us step out of our comfort zones. It's easy to stay comfortable. It's easy to just go through life. But if you really want God to use you, because he wants to, he's going to call you to step into some pretty tough situations. Are we going to be like Ananias and step into that fear? To finish the story in the last 2 verses, in 18, it goes, "Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength." Not everyone can be Saul. Not everyone can go from persecuting Christians to writing books of the New Testament to being persecuted for being a Christian. But every single one of us here can be like Ananias. Every single one of us here can listen to God's voice and have enough faith to obey. Luke, the author of Acts, who recorded this story, he says in verse 10 here that there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. That's all we know about Ananias. We don't know if he was this great man. We don't know if he had any education or training. We don't know if he had a family or what he did for a living. All we know is Ananias was a Christ follower, and he was ready when God called him. He was ready to do something that caused fear. He's just like us. He's a Christian, but when he was prompted, he obeyed. Are you ready when God calls you? No matter who you are, what education you have, if you've only known him for a short while, if you've known him for years, maybe you don't even know him yet. God still wants to use you. God wants to work through you in people's lives. It's amazing. So what? Yeah, I understand that God wants to use me. It's going to cause me fear, but where do we go from here? God used this man named Ananias in this man named Saul's life, and Saul went on to do amazing things. It's all because of faith and all this stuff. What's going on? Well, maybe we need to start looking for these opportunities and follow in the footsteps of Ananias. You know, we all have people in our lives we need to share the gospel with. Look at Stouffville or Markham or Newmarket and all these places surrounding us. Like, that is such a mission field. You know, Christ said to us as Christians, he said, the Great Commission, go and make disciples, right? He said, go into the world, go into our communities, get involved. That's where God wants to use us. You know, we can be comfortable, we can stay in places like this, but we need to use these places to strengthen ourselves to go into the world. And how we can do that is as a church, there's 3 things. We need to first be praying for people, then we need to be connecting with people, and then inviting people. Right? We need to be, when we meet people, pray for them. If we want to hear God's voice, be in relationship with them. That's what Christianity is. It's a relationship. And so why would we not go to God when God wants to use us? Why would we not try to understand what he's trying to do here? We don't want to work against him. So when you meet that person, ask God what you want. What should I do with them? God, how do you want to use me here? Pray for those people that you struggle with. Pray for those people you don't know. Pray for those new people you come into contact with. Pray for those people you've been praying for 30 years. You know, as you pray for people, as you meet new people, it's important that we're connecting with people. Go get involved in a gym or on a committee, at a school, volunteer somewhere. Go into these communities, go into our communities, and start praying for the people you come into contact with. Because if you're praying for them and asking God for opportunities with them, if you're connecting with them, it makes it a lot easier to invite them. Invite them into your home. Invite them here. If you're a kid, invite them to youth group. We have a pretty sweet one. You know, when we're praying, when we're connecting, when we're inviting, it's amazing how God can work. But the ball's in our court. Do we have enough faith to obey? Are we going to be bold in this? I would like to think, it's go time. Let's do this. All right, let's pray. Father, it's, again, such a privilege to be in relationship with you. It's crazy to think that you want to use someone like me, someone like us, as your vessels, as your hands and feet, God. We're just humans, sinful humans, yet you want to use us in people's lives. And so I'm so thankful that you can do that, and you will. So I pray for all of us here that you will use us. I pray that we're open to hearing your voice. I pray that in those situations, even though it might be fearful, even though it might take courage, even though we might need to get a group of people around us praying for us, I pray that we'll step into our fears. God, it took somebody to reach out to us for us to know you. So help us to continue to be reaching people for Christ. The love you have for us is astounding and uncomprehendable, and help us to show that to the people who need it most. We live in a broken, fallen world, a world that needs you. So we ask that you work throughout our communities. Pray this in your name, Father. Amen.